This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll hear two different composers' takes on the waltz, separated by about 20 years and 1,000 miles. The story of the waltz is really the story of a lot of music. A lot of people think of music as being an extension of class or culture. Certain things are highbrow, certain things are lowbrow, but there's a lot more interplay than you might think. The waltz, for example, started out as a folk dance in Austria and in the Alps region and crept its way all the way into Viennese high society dance scene around the middle of the 18th century. It was a viral dance of the time, and it spread all over the continent. There really isn't anywhere that didn't start waltzing at some point or another. It was a folk dance for peasants. It featured in aristocratic ballrooms. Everyone was doing it. And so there are all kinds of regional variations on it. You can see people dancing the waltz in about 100 different ways. Now, there seem to be two big selling points to the waltz that made it so popular. One was that it's fairly simple to learn. I mean, honestly, I'm a terrible dancer. Even I can get that 1-2-3, 1-2-3 pattern down pretty easy. But second, it allows for some very close dancing, which is probably the reason why it became a sensation. There was a lot of moral panic around the waltz. The close dancing, the flitting about, was apparently too unseemly for some people to handle, and that's probably why everyone else liked it. We'll listen to a Spanish version of the waltz a little later, but first up is Antonín Dvořák from what's now the Czech Republic. He had a huge hit with a collection of pieces based on folk dances that he wrote for piano duet. This was in the 1870s, and so people weren't listening to records or anything. They were buying the sheet music and playing it at home. And they loved his Slavonic dances, as they were called, so his publisher asked him for something similar, and this is what he gave them, a set of waltzes. You'll probably notice that it's not always the straight 1-2-3, 1-2-3. There's some playing around with the tempo and the feel. That's because these weren't really written to be danced to. They're more for listening or for playing at home. So here's a couple of those waltzes arranged for string quartet, musicians from Marlboro, with Dvořák's first and fourth waltz.
Thank you.
Musicians from Marlborough with Dvorak's First and Fourth Waltz. That was a live recording from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum's concert series. It's a great series. They put all their concert recordings up online on their website, gardnermuseum.org. You can download them, listen to them. A lot of fantastic concerts there. Next up is Enrique Granados from Catalonia, which is in the northeast of Spain. That's where Barcelona is. Around the turn of the 20th century, in his heyday, there were a lot of nationalist movements around Europe, which you can hear in the music of the time. Dvorak, who we just listened to, is a big proponent of Czech nationalism. Jan Sibelius up in Finland is one of their national heroes now because of some of the music he composed around that time. And most of Granados' most famous works were heavily influenced by Spanish folk music and melodies. Like Dvorak, he first gained fame with a set of folk dance-inspired piano pieces, his Spanish Dances in 1889. And the waltz we'll be listening to today was from a collection of music he called his Poetic Waltzes. Again, this piece was written for piano, but here it's arranged for the guitar. And again, the key is in the name, Poetic Waltzes. It's not really suited for dancing. It's another piece designed to be played and listened to. Just listen to the ways he plays around with the tempo and the rhythm. Edson Lopez on the guitar, Granados' Eighth Poetic Waltz. Thank you. Enrique Granados' 8th Poetic Waltz. Thanks to the musicians from Marlboro, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, and Edson Lopez for the music today. You'll find it all on museopen.org. Great resource. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week for your classical break, we'll be listening to Ravel, Mozart, and Schubert. And we'll start things off on Monday with a piece that might have been stolen. Supposedly, Henry Eccles wrote it, but might have actually come from a couple of different composers. We'll talk all about it on Monday. See you then.